behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin.
Ben. We've got a topic today that I think is going to be a little bit divisive among listeners.
Yes, for sure, because your old friends are back, Scott. You're one of your favorite podcast topics.
Yeah.
Hybrid cars.
Yeah, and it's not just about hybrid cars and how they work and all that. And, you know, maybe like, you know, are they worth the extra money initially or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
This is a question of the day that we had on our website. So there's an article that mirrors this on our site. The title is, Are Hybrid Cars Slower Than Regular Cars? Now, regular cars, that's a term we're going to use from now on through the rest of the podcast, regular cars. I typically don't like to say regular for something because that indicates that there's the standard, but up until very recently, there kind of was a standard in that every car had an internal combustion-powered engine, an ICE engine, and we'll call that regular, you know, whether it was a diesel, whether it was a gasoline, whatever. That's going to be our term for just kind of a standard car that has one source of power.
Our catch-all for any ICE.
That's right.
And I think that makes sense because, as you said, until very recently, that was the standard. Things that came before or things that were tried experimentally, such as turbine cars, or I guess there were even gas turbines at that point.
There's been everything. There's been wood-burning cars.
Solar power.
There's steam-powered cars, of course. A long mm-hmm. time ago, we had steam-powered cars. Still do in some cases.
The Flintstones tried that foot power car.
Yeah, that's right. The foot power car. That's
in,
right.
I think that's history's most accurate cartoon.
I think you're right. And of course, we've had electrics back, you know, way back when, even hybrids. But
sure, first car I believe was electric. Correct.
Okay. all right, but anyways, today we're going to be talking about any car that has at least two sources of power.
Yes.
Whether that's an ICE, an electric motor, or if it's a fuel cell in addition to that, or if it's like a natural gas-powered vehicle. As long as there's two sources of power, that's what we're talking about as far as hybrid cars go. And I don't know. I feel like this comes down to one question.
What's that?
Are you compromising performance to get that hybrid for an eco-friendly attitude or eco-friendly
efficiency?
Yeah, exactly. If for efficiency, so you know you want to save some money at the fuel pump, mm-hmm. are you compromising performance for that? And that's really what this question comes down to. I mean, when we talk about faster and slower, I don't see this as like a top speed thing.
Right.
I see this as more of a like a quickness, like merging power or being able to accelerate off the line at a stoplight in the city.
So acceleration rate.
I think so. I mean,
I think that's cool.
Maybe top end also in some cases, but I don't know.
Well, I'm sure if we have some impressive top ends, let's talk about those. Scott, I want to thank you for making that point about hybrid cars. Although the vast majority of people will think of an electric motor working with a gasoline-powered engine when they think of a hybrid car, the truth of the matter is that, you know, not to dither over it, but the truth of the matter is that any vehicle with more than one source of power, two sources of power, really is a hybrid.
And honestly, you're going to find that in most cases, I don't think this ever happens. You know, there may be a few examples out there now because they're starting to do some, there's a lot of mixing of this going on, but what I typically think of is that at one point there's going to be an electric motor driving this thing, usually at startup.
Yeah,
and which
up to a certain threshold,
isn't terribly bad because you know there's instant torque. You know, you've got it available, all of it immediately the second you push the gas pedal, and then one will take over. So the electric motor shuts off, the gas motor begins its operation at that point. You know, at higher speeds.
Right.
That's typically what we see. So. I think that there are some examples now where they work in combination with one another.
In conjunction?
Yeah, exactly. At the same time. But, basically that's what we're talking about. So are you giving something up by having these electric motors power a car initially, like right off the line?
Okay. That's a great question. And the answer, as we're going to see, can change a little bit depending on the vehicle and the time. Some of the very first hybrids were openly advertised as kind of a compromise. It's one of the things that they mentioned.
Sure.
That, sure, this vehicle is not going to win a race down a straightaway, but it will save you money and it will be better for the environment. As we mentioned previously, those are typically the two primary concerns of hybrid buyers.
Yeah, and probably initially you're going to think of cars like the Toyota Prius or
right.
the Honda Insight, mm-hmm. things like that. That's the type of car that we're going to initially think of when you think of a hybrid car, right?
Sure.
Well, this question, are hybrid cars slower than regular cars? That has so changed. I mean, since 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Because now, we're going to find out later that there's some manufacturers that are putting out some incredible hybrid cars.
Mm-hmm.
Cars that have amazing 0-60 acceleration, cars that have incredible top ends, supercars really.
Yes. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because here's something that we thought was neat from the article, that the reason hybrid vehicles have become such a buzz topic and a go-to model for the auto industry right now. Everybody is trying these. Every auto manufacturer is thinking, do we have a hybrid gap? We need a hybrid version.
Well, a lot of it has to do with mileage and CAFE standards and having to be able to say that they've got an efficient fleet of vehicles.
Right. Now, as we know in our earlier podcast on this, we have talked about the gigantic change. The looming change with the CAFE standards.
Sure.
And this does provide an incentive for hybrids, but an incentive for the manufacturer to build them, as we know, does not always translate to an incentive for the customer to buy one.
Yeah, the customers, they're a little fickle in that, some people really are on board with this. In fact, they want more of this or they want an all-electric car, which is, to the extreme of this, right?
Yes.
Now, I think there are a lot of reasons why people may not want to make the shift over to a hybrid vehicle if they're driving a what we'll call regular car.
Yes.
At this point. And I've got a short list of things that I think maybe not. You can tell me. Maybe the listeners can chime in on this too, mm-hmm. as well as what they think about this list. But I think I've got a decent handle on why people may not want to switch over. Initially, there's the cost. We've talked about that many times, right?
The cost will tend to be higher.
It's a more expensive vehicle to begin with. And, when you factor in the fuel savings and, all that, there's the cost of ownership that goes along with these things, with any car really. And, you find that it takes, in some cases, years at pretty expensive fuel prices in order to recoup that initial cost. And, so it doesn't start to make economical sense to own one of these things for maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah. In our podcast on the topic, we found it could even go as high as 8 or 10.
Oh, or higher than that with some of the big SUVs. Remember, some of them top $100,000 in the luxury segment.
Good point.
And they can go way, way, way above that. So as we'll find out later.
Okay. One thing that I think dovetails nicely into this point is the fact that hybrid technology, as we're seeing it now, is a newer technology. And we were talking about this off the air just before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's my dead horse that I always drag out and beat whenever we talk about hybrid cars, but newer technology will tend to break more often and become more expensive to fix.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You want it to be tried and true, right?
Yes.
You want it to be proven in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that, it's actually... I'm going to skip my next one because that you've just hit on my third point. Added mechanical and electrical complexity. Not only for the backyard mechanic, somebody who wants to try to repair these things themselves. There's additional complexity to this, and even potential danger really if there's a high voltage battery pack
that's
involved.
A good point.
That's more the case with all electric cars, which those are pretty much a dealer service only situation.
Mm-hmm.
But hybrid cars, there's going to be that temptation to get in there and fix some things yourself because there still is the standard engine.
Yes.
And but it's different. It's you got to resist that temptation because you know there's more to it than just what you're seeing. There's a greater potential to cause issues.
Absolutely.
Here's another one that's just really, and I'm kind of getting to the end of this because there's not a whole lot of reasons really.
Yeah.
But it just seems a little too different to people. It's not the usual. It's not the standard. Not the go-to.
Yeah, it's a personal preference thing. Now we've talked about this before. My mother and my father owned a hybrid for a while, and the thing that my mom had a hard time getting over was the lack of noise.
Yeah,
and especially before that gas engine kicks in, she would tell me she wasn't sure if it was.
Or with
on.
A lot of them have start-stop technology,
mm-hmm.
and that's a little bit unusual as well when the engine stops at the stoplight.
Yeah.
A lot of people are very uncomfortable with that. I know that I think I would have a very, very hard time adjusting to something like this. Now, I know that that's something that, you know, a lot of people say, like, I don't like change. I don't want it to be different than usual. But
right.
Honestly, this is the main factor, I feel, in the reason why people aren't buying hybrids, you know, maybe they're buying them, but I'm saying that people may not want to switch over to hybrids. That's probably the main hurdle that they face is that people are saying, like, it's just a little too different for me. I'm not comfortable with this out in traffic. I don't know if I can trust this thing.
It's strange and unfamiliar.
And the last thing, now, this isn't really a reason why somebody might not want to, but it's a point that I want to make. Now, I think I've kind of, maybe that's the end of my list, really.
Okay.
But the one thing that I want to say is that when I hear about a manufacturer, let's say like a high-end manufacturer, now I don't care if like you know Kia or you know Honda or Toyota or whoever that they put out
sure.
hybrids, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine for anybody. But if and I'm not in the market for any of these, by the way. But
okay.
Let's say that Ferrari comes out with one, and they say we've got this fantastic car, and here's all the stats and everything. Mm. Oh, by the way, it's a hybrid, so it's green friendly, it's eco friendly. I kind of my shoulders slump a little bit, and I say, "Oh man, why did they do this?"
Yeah.
I don't know why I have that reaction, but like, you know, Porsche will do the same thing, and I'll think this is a great car, mm. and we have a hybrid model as well. And I'm always a little bit let down by it. I don't know why that is, but I think that a lot of people feel the same way. And there's no good reason behind it because the stats on these cars are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ferrari's not going to put out a car that's, you know, a dog off the line.
Right. They're not going to put out a clunker or
no.
a lemon.
But, no.
So but maybe it's a specialization thing, too, because if we think about it, especially with Ferrari and other very high-end performance vehicles, that what they do is they make a rather limited run of a few very specific models that do very specific things. And in Ferrari's case, it's speed, which, again, we don't typically associate with hybrids. Do you hear me setting you up for this?
Well, I guess so. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of the hybrid 599 model from Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's a gorgeous car. It's on a racetrack here in this photo.
It looks good.
It looks fantastic. I mean, I would love to drive this car, but I also just, there's that word there, that hybrid word there, and I'm just not comfortable with it. And I think a lot of people feel the same way, even though, you know, it's clearly not slower than a regular hybrid car. It's a Ferrari, of course.
Right.
I guess what we need to do is we need to compare, you know, like models. Like, is the hybrid version of the Lexus SUV the same as the Lexus SUV that is the non-hybrid version, you know, the regular version?
That's an excellent idea, Scott. And we should also include maybe when we're doing this comparison, we should include something, maybe not so much top speed, which we can include, but acceleration rate, which
yeah.
is the key here.
I think acceleration is the key because I think a lot of people are feeling like, you know, I've heard a lot about hybrid cars, and I know that they typically have a smaller ICE.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a chance that it's going to be a little bit underpowered.
Right.
Not taking into account that, you know, the electric motor is also going to be, you know, good for X number of horsepower, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And instant torque, which is great, which is good for acceleration, mm-hmm. by the way, really good. So I think that there's this weird connection that's not being made in some people's minds that, you know, yeah, you can have an electric motor that starts things off and then makes it easier for the ICE to take over once you're at highway speeds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got a few examples here of some pretty fast. I've got, how about this? I've got some some fast hybrid cars that are already out there.
Okay.
Then I've got some other fast hybrids that are just maybe just a couple of other examples so we can, you know, further the point.
Right on.
And then we've got some upcoming what they call very fast hybrids that there's just three examples, but those really kind of they really push it to the limit. I mean, they're maxing out.
Sounds awesome. Let's start with Fast and Out Now.
All right. Fast and Out Now. We've got, let's see, the BMW Active Hybrid 3. Now, these are kind of high-end vehicles, okay? So they're a little more expensive, but you get the point that there still are some fast hybrids out there. Mm-hmm. 0 to 60 time is 5.2 seconds, which is, that's not any slouch in the acceleration department. Now, there's also the Infiniti M35 HAT, and that 0 to 62 time, because that's 100 kilometers,
mm-hmm.
0 to 62 miles per hour is 5.5 seconds, so that's, again, also pretty quick. Let's see, what's the next one I got here? We've got, BMW Active Hybrid 7, which is 0 to 60 in 5.6 seconds. So you can see the trend here.
Yeah.
Man. It's like in the, it's below
a little bit
six.
Over 5, yeah. But under 6.
Yeah. Well, here's one that's exactly 6, and that's the Porsche Cayenne S Hybrid. Now, that's a big SUV,
mm-hmm.
but, still a Porsche. I mean, 6 seconds? That's pretty quick for
an SUV,
I mean,
too. That's
yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, I've got some other fast examples if you want to hear them. They're a little bit slower. But still, you get the idea. There's a Lexus GS 450H, which is 0 to 62 in 5.9 seconds.
Okay.
5.9 seconds for another BMW Active Hybrid 5, the 5 Series.
Mm-hmm.
An Audi Q5, which is 7.1, so that's getting a little bit slower, but again, great big vehicle.
Yeah.
Now you want to move on to a few really, really fast ones, because
yes.
These are the ones that excite me, and I'm going to leave my favorite for the last.
Okay. Now, are these the upcoming fast ones?
These are upcoming. These are not out currently, I don't believe. Although, I'm a little bit, I'm curious about this Porsche, though. There's a Porsche Panamera SE Hybrid, and I feel like I've seen this one on the road, but we do have a headquarters here in Atlanta.
That's just what I was going to say, because, you know, I've been thinking about this, Scott. Sometimes, especially in this area, we see some cars that are either rare or, I swear to you, man, sometimes we see some cars that maybe aren't supposed to be out yet.
Typically the exotics. Not so much the, because up in the Detroit area in the Midwest, you're going to find a lot of the U.S. manufacturers where the headquarters are up in, well, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And down here, you know, we've got a Porsche headquarters, which is right near the airport here in Atlanta. And we see a lot of exotics here. We mm-hmm. see a lot of stuff that, you know, like you said, just you haven't seen on a dealer lot anywhere, and somehow it turns up here in Atlanta.
Right.
I feel like I've seen a hybrid Panamera here. Maybe I didn't. I'm not sure. But 0 to 100 in 5.5 seconds. Now, that's a big car.
Yeah.
That's pretty quick for a car that size.
And that's 0 to 100, not 0 to 62.
Also, I'm sorry, 0 to 100 kilometers, so it is 0 to 62.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. The BMW i8 Spider, which is an incredible-looking car, by the way. That's the one that looks a little bit like the Audi R8,
mm-hmm.
you know, the amazing open-top vehicle from Audi.
I'm interested. What's the number?
0 to 100 kilometers in 5 seconds. So that's pretty quick.
Yeah, that's 5 flat?
Yeah, 0 to 62 in 5 flat. Top speed of 155 miles per hour. So that's a that's a quick car for, you know, being a hybrid.
You got my hopes up when you said 200, 100.
But the styling on this, amazing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, my favorite. Now, if you haven't looked at this, I suggest going to YouTube or wherever and taking mm-hmm. a look and listening to this car, because this car is pretty incredible. There is a prototype out there somewhere, I know. This is the Porsche 918 Spider. And this is incredible, Ben.
Okay.
0 to 62 in 3 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. And a top speed of 202 miles per hour. So this one has a, oh my gosh, this one has just, and in pure electric mode, it can go all the way up to 93 miles per hour. So that means that 0 to 62 is achieved in full electric mode.
Wow.
Which, and long beyond that, if you're talking about up to 93 miles per hour in pure electric mode. So, and it's, by the way, it's a gorgeous looking car. Now, that's one of those ones that, you know, when you hear Porsche's coming out with a hybrid, you're kind of like, or at least I am.
Right.
Kind of thinking, like, why would they do that? Because they do what they do normally so well. I wish they would just stick to just building, internal combustion powered engines.
But question, is this kind of brand dilution to you? Is that what it feels like?
I don't know. I don't know why I feel this way. Like, I just feel like, why would you add this complexity? Because, I mean, I think I just said it, is that, you know, they do what they normally do so well. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Porsche builds fantastic cars. I mean, amazing gasoline-powered cars.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they mess with that? Why would they want to add this complexity? Why would they want to add this technology? I know it's just, you know, they need to move forward. They need to adjust to the marketplace or whatever.
Right.
But we're talking about a car that's going to be real limited production. Mm-hmm. I mean, very, very, very limited. Very, very expensive car. World-beating performance. I mean, it's a supercar.
3 seconds, man.
3 seconds. It's an amazing-looking vehicle, amazing-sounding vehicle. Mm-hmm. I've seen this thing online. I know I have. I've seen a clip somewhere. I mean, just going through the notes, I didn't look up additional info on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's just the hybrid tag on this thing sort of bothers me. There's no good reason for it, Ben.
It's more of a gut reaction, you think?
Yeah, maybe.
See, I believe that is a fairly common thing, as you've said.
That was an excellent segue.
I have
just some kind of mental block on this thing. I don't know why. And you know what? I'll tell you, Ben. This is how crazy I am about this. And there's no good reason for it, because I like the styling of some hybrid cars that are out there. I've seen some that caught my eye, and I think that looks a good looking car. And then I get behind it and I realize there's a hybrid tag on it, or an H next to the letter designation.
Right.
And I think kind of like, well, it's not for me. And I don't know why that is. My dad is going to buy a new car,
mm-hmm.
and he told me what he was interested in. And I actually, at the end of his short list of what he said, I kind of said, I'm glad you didn't jump onto the hybrid bandwagon.
The hybrid bandwagon.
I actually called it that, and I caught myself, and I said, man, I don't know why I'm so biased against these things.
That is a little antagonistic, man.
It's just some kind of a problem I have with shifting over from what I call the usual or the normal.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time changing my idea behind this thing. I just don't get it.
Well, you know, I don't blame you, because, again, I'm fairly reticent to be an early adopter of this kind of stuff. And this goes back to just something personal for me. You know, I'm not the first guy to buy the newest electronic gadget, because my line of reasoning is that in 12 months, there will be a better version of something that I paid $500 for,
yeah.
and it'll be $300.
I completely get that. Now, but I also understand what you're saying, but in a hybrid situation, you're not completely jumping off, you know, into the great unknown here. You know, it's not like
it's not like a full electric car.
Yeah, yeah, full electric, where there's really no infrastructure for that type of thing right now,
mm-hmm.
and you literally could be stranded somewhere if you had a problem. This is a known technology that they're just pairing with a little bit of a modern flair, I guess.
Right.
And you're really not going to be stuck anywhere, because once, you know, if something goes wrong, there's a backup situation in order to help you out and, you know, get you home or whatever. Or, you know, once the electric power runs out, then you're on, you know, running on full internal combustion
yep.
engine. Well, there's so many variations of this now, it's tough to give one example, but
we can kind of answer the question in a fairly conclusive way, which is, I'm glad that you mentioned all electric vehicles, because our question is, are hybrid cars slower than regular cars? Again, Scott, you and I don't particularly cotton to the term regular cars, but we do think it works in this situation. And we know that many all electric vehicles have lower top speeds than the ICE equivalents. But before anybody sends the email, you guys hit backspace, because we know Tesla is an exception.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few exceptions like that. Now, some fantastic sports cars.
Some fantastic all-electric sports cars,
which will blow the doors off of many normal cars. Regular cars, I guess.
Right, mid-range, you know, non-high performance cars.
Exactly. So I guess we've answered this question. I think
we
have.
Well, we answered the electric thing, but yeah. hybrid cars, while they're going to be able to accelerate well enough for you to merge in and out of traffic, you're not going to be that person putting around.
Well, what about the additional weight you have to carry as well? Because there's a battery pack.
That's true.
There's a smaller internal combustion engine, typically.
Mm-hmm.
So there's extra weight for the motor, because that stuff weighs an awful lot. There's a balance there that I don't know if they've got it exactly right yet, but
if they have the formula yet.
Yeah, it seems like we need to do some, number comparison.
Number crunching.
Exact number comparison. So that, you take a hybrid version of a vehicle and a standard version of a vehicle and you measure them 0 to 60 and top speed and, all that. You have to weigh all that into consideration. We probably should do that before we make any final conclusion, right?
Yeah, so. I agree with that. And I also think even at this point, Scott, even with the number crunching, one thing that a lot of people forget, is the flip side of my earlier statement about how I'm kind of a Luddite and I don't want to mess with too much new technology. The other side of this is that hybrid technology is evolving. We are really in, a pioneering stage. So the answer, regardless of how many case tests we do, the answer may well change, because let's keep in mind that car manufacturers are still perfecting this formula. They're making bigger combinations. They say sometimes you'll hear like hybrids will have a smaller gas engine. Mm-hmm. There are manufacturers who are taking V6 engines, much more powerful electric motors, and the weight, I think, is currently one of the big problems, one of the elephants in the room. Mm-hmm. But as we evolve more efficient materials, then that may also change.
Sure, they're compensating for it in other ways, right?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I think that manufacturers are adjusting for all this. They realize what people want and some of the downsides and some of, the stuff that we've listed here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're realizing exactly what's going on and why people may have a hesitation like I do. Or maybe there's something even deeper than that. I don't know. It sounds like I've got a bigger problem than that now that I've talked it out, because I haven't really said all of this until just now.
Well, you guys, we hope that we've given you a neat little overview of the hybrid car question, how it's evolving. And Scott, it sounds like you're working through some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the answer to this whole thing is right now it's no. I mean,
it is no.
Hybrid cars are not slower than regular cars. I mean, some cars are faster, some are about the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no definitive, these cars are a lot slower and that's why I'm not going to get one. I guess we've talked it through. It's like therapy, Ben.
Oh, well, hey, I'm glad I could help. Do you want to do some listener mail to finish off?
Why not?
All right. Okay, Scott, I just wanted to let our listeners in on an email exchange you've been having with Cameron.
Ah, yes, Cameron. I remember this.
Yeah, you guys have written some stuff back and forth, and I thought there were some neat things, so we'll just read his first email.
Okay.
Hey guys, says Cameron. I listened to the podcast along with some other How Stuff Works podcasts. Thank you, Cameron. Top Fuel Dragsters was definitely my favorite. Another I found interesting was one on engine swaps. I now regularly check engineswapdepot.com. And he's got a list of some of his favorite swaps.
Yeah, some incredible ones, by the way.
Yeah, Duramax diesels into a Chevy Chevelle and 82 Buick Regal, for example. A Honda Element converted to rear-wheel drive. Rear-wheel drive. Did you hear me? I went rural juror.
Yeah, you got it.
with a 500 horsepower 132 J32 V6, built for drifting.
Very nice.
Supercharged big block and a rear-wheel drive Integra.
That sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, and you can check it out on YouTube, too. He mentions something that's tangentially related to hybrids in this first email. He says, okay. You also refer to large mining trucks and trains as hybrids. I personally don't see them as being hybrids, as their diesel engines do not provide any drive power. They simply generate electricity to power the drive motor, making it just a power generator. In hybrid passenger cars, both the combustion engine and the electric motors can provide power, either drive power, either individually or in parallel.
Ah, and this is where I chimed in about the series hybrids, right? In these giant locomotives, and not only why that works in that case, but why that's such an efficient method of travel. And we've talked about trains, I know, in the past on our podcast. But trains are, honestly, they become very, very efficient haulers of goods across long distances because of the rolling resistance.
Right, how little there is.
Now, these things weigh millions and millions and millions of pounds, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, though, they don't have soft rubber tires on various different surfaces like concrete or asphalt or
gravel even.
Yeah. These are metal tires, steel wheels on steel tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And the contact patch is extremely small. And it's really, really simple to keep them rolling once they're rolling. In fact, that's why it's so difficult to stop a train a lot of times, is because there's, and it's not like you're applying brakes, you know, great big brakes to a vehicle that already has a lot of rolling resistance.
Right.
This one has very little rolling resistance. And there's a lot going on with trains and cargo hauling. So, you know, I had a long exchange back and forth with him about the, with Cameron about this, and it was a good conversation.
It was, and Cameron also mentions that he is studying to be an engineer. So we want to wish you luck, Cameron. An engineer is an amazing thing to be, and I think it's one of the world-changing occupations.
Yeah, it's a great profession, so stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Who knows, Cameron? Maybe you will be the person who designs the next phase of hybrids, right?
Yeah, maybe something that I'll want.
And then we'll be able to say that we knew you earlier.
That's a good idea.
So we're going to go ahead and get out. We'd like to know where you fall on this question. Scott, the question I want to leave our listeners with is, what do you guys think about high-end vehicle makers creating hybrid versions or going off of their usual reservation as far as this stuff goes?
And I'm sorry that I'm so biased against this type of thing. And I would love to have any one of the cars that we had mentioned, you know, the high-end vehicles that, mm-hmm. you know, even the fast currently out there BMWs and things like that, those would be great to drive.
Yeah.
But I just can't get over the idea that I would be paying extra money for a hybrid and potentially leaving myself open to added mechanical issues.
Sure.
That's I think the main hurdle for me.
Okay. That, you know, I think that's valid. That's not a crazy point.
I hope that's fair, and I'm just being very honest with everybody in that, you know, I have a mental block that I can't get past on this.
So we're going to go ahead and move on. We're going to mosey out of our studio here. And in the meantime, if you'd like to talk to us and let us know what you think about hybrids, or have a suggestion for an upcoming topic, hit us up on Facebook. You can befriend us on Twitter. Oh, wait. You can befriend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Sounds good.
Finger on the pulse, my friend, of social media. You can also just cut past all of that and send us an email directly at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.